Hey guys, it's me, Travis, with DFSKarma.com, bringing you a weekly podcast focusing on the Jock Market platform, JOCMKT.online. If you don't have an account yet, sign up. Like I said, JOCKMKT.online. Use promo code KARMA, get you that $100 deposit bonus match. And also, as you see on screen, it's a $100 money back guarantee. So if you deposit 100 bucks, you get a $100 match. Now you have $200. And if you spend 100 of that, which you shouldn't because that's 50% of your bankroll, which is not wise. But in theory, if you spend $100 of that in an NFL market, whether it's tonight's market for Thursday Night Football, the kickoff that's happening tonight, or if you're watching this afterwards for the main Sunday slate, if you lose 100 bucks, they will actually refund you up to $100. If you lose 25 bucks, they'll give you 25 bucks back. So this is a no-brainer situation. They know there's a slight learning curve when it comes to this, which is why they partner with companies like myself here at DFS Karma to help kind of educate you guys on how to play and how to win. I believe I'm pretty high on the ranking list. I'm not sure exactly where I am, but I know I'm pretty high up there. I had an amazing NFL season where I took $0, just grinded free rolls, built a minor little small bankroll, and then started doing the main cash markets, the real money stuff, and took $0 into 5K over the NFL season. You can't see him right now, and you didn't see him last year. All you saw was a picture of a dinosaur. But we do have T-Rex on this podcast again joining us this year for the Jock Market podcast, which I now coined as Scoop and Shares. If you love it, let me know in the comments. If you hate it, I don't want to hear about it. It's great. It's going to work. But we have T-Rex here, and for many, many reasons, we're not going to see his face. For it's potentially legal concerns, is that correct? What are all of the reasonings that you are willing to admit as to why we are hiding behind the dinosaur yet again?
I say it's kind of like winning the lottery. Everybody wants a handout.
Won as much money as this man had, not just in, well, you did pretty well in NBA, as I believe as well. But if you won as much money as this guy has, you definitely don't want people knowing about it. Just like winning the lottery. This guy's the number one player on this platform, and we got him on this podcast here. So before we go into anything specific for tonight's Thursday Night Football slate, for anybody that watches this before it locks, or for the Sunday main slate for people to watch it after, is there anything, kind of an overview, whether it's jock market in general, jock market strategy, or just kind of like a season outlook that you want to divulge and bestow upon the listeners and the watchers before we begin?
Of course. Yeah, I think the biggest thing is you've got to know what type of market you're in. The single game slate markets are very small. Your main slates are very large. And the valuations, or the payouts, they call them valuations, but the payouts per share differ wildly depending on how big those slates are. 25 bucks is always for first, but in some of the larger slates, right, you can get, you know, $8 back, you know, if you're down to, I think, like, you know, 20th. Whereas in the small slate like we got tonight, you know, $8 is sixth, and half the players are returning a single dollar. So I think you always got to pay attention to that, because your strategies will change whether you've got 200 players in the slate or 24 players in the slate. So I think that's the first one. The second one, which I think people like forget, is $1 is always the minimum return. Last night was their first time they're doing a multi-week contest, right? So last night was a week one and week two. So you're going to get two games for each player. There were dozens of players that went for no more than $1.10. And so if you're going to get a dollar back, you're only risking 10 cents a share. And so you got to keep that in mind. It's not like you're risking everything there. And so if there are players that are going for under $1.50, I mean, I almost want any player that's at least starting and has two working knees for $1.50, because all I got to do is score one touchdown. And if they return $3 or $5, yeah, that's a pretty good payday. You know,
like 1.75 working knees at $1.10, I'll take a little bit under two working knees.
Absolutely. I mean, in small slates, I mean, if it's $1.10, I'll take every share available just because the risk is so low. And if that player does anything, I mean, I remember last year in a single game slate, I think I took almost every player except Christian McCaffrey, and he gets hurt in like the first series. Well, he obviously like plummets to the bottom, but then you got all these just like rando scrubs, including backup running backs or, you know, second, third string tight ends. All I got to do is make a couple of catches. And, you know, for example, tonight, I mean, Cooper Kupp is going to go for over $20, almost certainly. And so he's got a $5 upside with a $20 downside, or 19 if you forget the dollar. Sometimes that's just too risky. And so if you've got a small bankroll, you can buy a lot of shares for a guy for $1.50 and risk very little. But you go all in on somebody like Cooper Kupp, and either he doesn't have a great game or he gets hurt, and, man, you're in trouble fast.
Yeah, so that's kind of something I wanted to harp on as well, is that so yeah, just like T-Rex was saying, that this is the only DFS platform that it is impossible to lose all of your money that you have, I don't know if you say wagered or have active at any given time, because no matter how bad the player is that you have shares of, even if they have negative points, you will still get a dollar back per share. So if you bought them at $3 a share, you're only going to lose $2 per share. Now, for people that are watching this and they're like, before you guys start talking, what is this and how does it work? The bare bones essential of how I explain it to everyone in our Discord community and everybody else that tunes into these podcasts is it's you just are buying shares. So using actual money of buying shares of a player. If you buy one share of a player and they outperform their projections, so if they're projected to finish, let's just say sixth overall out of all of the players for tonight. So right now, I'm just looking at the screen. Looks like Gabe Davis is number six. So Gabe Davis is projected to finish sixth in fantasy points scored out of all the players. If you buy him at a value of $6 of where his payout would be for the $6 finish, and he finishes fifth overall, you win. You're not competing against anybody. Yes, there's a leaderboard. Yes, people like to see who has more profit than others. And yes, you're going to see T-Rex up at the top 99 times out of 100, probably 100 times out of 100 this season. But you're not competing against T-Rex. You're not competing against myself. You're simply just trying to get player shares that are going to outperform their projections. And then something that T-Rex just mentioned earlier as well, if you think everybody's going to say Josh Allen's the lock, he's going to score the most points, even though I may be in agreement. You know what I'm trying to say. Even though I'm agreeing with you, Josh Allen right now is probably going to score the most points just based on what we perceive as the outcome of this game. If you buy shares of him, thinking he's going to get paid out $25 a share, so let's say you pay up to like $18. You buy shares of $18 and he's going to finish first. Every single share, I'm going to get $7. Let's say he gets sacked on the first play and busts his knee and then is out for, the rest of the game. You do get paid a dollar per share, even if they finish in negative points. But if you pay super high prices for these people that are the common knowledge finishing at the top players, I mean, you're gonna be your bankroll's gonna be liquidated relatively quickly. So you can have shares of Josh Allen. You can have shares of Cooper Kupp. You can have shares of the no-brainer. These guys are gonna finish number one and two. But it's all about how much you pay for them. You kind of have to, keep that risk there. Like, okay, for Cooper Kupp finishing second, he's going to get paid out. If he finishes second overall in scoring, he's going to be paid out $20 a share. So on a single game slate, if I'm convinced he's going to finish in the top two, like unless, lightning strikes him, the most I would probably pay in that scenario was maybe, I think the most I go on Cooper Kupp is like $12 in a single slate.
You're not
What would
get
you say?
you're not getting them for $12.
Well, I'm saying that's the most that I would pay, though.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, sometimes slate. I mean, first of all, right? It's football, right? People get hurt, and so that's the risk factor that's always there. But I mean, Cooper Kupp last year was just repeatedly at the top of the board. And I think while we've got, we're always hoping to pick up new players, which is great. There's enough players that played last year. Cooper Kupp's going to go for a lot of money. Now, that's because he might finish. He's probably the most likely to finish first. One thing that I always tell people, depending on whatever DFS you do, right, you always got to check the scoring. And in jock market, it's, there's a -3 for interceptions, which is, pretty high compared to some other sites. And it's a 4, points for a touchdown. Patrick Mahomes last year, had some terrible games where he threw three picks, but threw two touchdowns and didn't finish very well. And so you always got to keep the scoring in mind. It is a PPR. And so somebody like Cooper Kupp is a huge draw just for, underneath passes. I mean, the guy can catch 11 balls and for 115 yards, and he's in great shape. But always keep the scoring in mind, whether you're going to do modeling projections or if you're just kind of doing it by hand. The points matter. Don't just think, well, it's Josh Allen. Of course he's good. He's going to score me a bunch of points in my season long. The scoring is slightly different, just like any other season long league.
And speaking of the scoring being different, we actually last year we had a tool that we came out with called the just the historical tool where it shows all of the player performances on via Jock Market scoring, like everything that they've done over, you can say like the last one market, the last two markets, three markets, four markets, and you can kind of see kind of a just a historical data performance based on how what was the average cost of them in a main market. Main market, of course, being these main slates have all of the games in them, like a Sunday 1 p.m., Sunday 4 p.m. collectively. main slate. So you can see, okay, in the last three times this player was here in this main slate, meaning they're not doing any Monday night, Sunday night, or Thursday night game, what was his average price? Okay, what was his average performance? As you can kind of see those things. So that tool is free to view. Just go to dfskarma.com. It's in the Jock Market drop-down menu. This historical data table. Nothing creative for that name. But we did just drop a new one, and I don't know if I have a creative name for it yet, but it simply pulls in. So if you see on the screen right now, Jock Market has their own projections based on their scoring, based on their, I don't know, their own algorithm, I guess, where a player should finish in fantasy points scored. So this algorithm that they have that spits out that result is not the same as Karma's algorithm. So what I realized, which is how I won most money last year, is that I just compared what are they valuing way too high, what are they putting way too low on projections, and where's the biggest gap of difference from what Karma is saying is going to happen to what Jock Market's projection is going to happen. So if you haven't watched any of these, and like I said, if you're new to Jock Market, make sure you watch these every single week. We drop them out. Make sure you're in the Discord channel. Just go to dfskarma.com/chat. There's free Jock Market channels. You can ask as many questions to us as possible. Whenever T-Rex is in there, he's more than happy to answer questions. I try to educate as much as possible on my own end. T-Rex and I have different strategies because T-Rex's portfolio is very robust. He likes to get a lot of shares of a lot of players. And what I like to do, what I found the most success with, is what I call single player sniping, where I try to find, okay, I look at all of the rankings. When I say rankings, I mean, you know, you see Cooper Kupp is ranked to finish number second, Stefan Diggs finished ranked number four. So I look at their rankings based on their own fantasy points algorithms, saying, you know, okay, this player, based on our projections, is going to finish fifth overall, Allen Robinson. So I would take that number, that rankings list, and then I look at our projections portal. I look at our lineup optimizer, and I say, what's the biggest difference? So, which, I mean, I can do that on this podcast right now and look at that. But as an example, if they have Gabe Davis as sixth in fantasy point scoring, I look at our optimizer and he's 10th, I'm not going to worry about that. Because if he's going to finish lower than what they're saying and he's already projected, he's probably going to go at a higher price than makes sense. What I try to do using the lineup optimizer and the projections portal on our website is I try to find players that are really, really high compared to Jock Market's ranking. So let's just use Gabe Davis as an example again. If I check the lineup optimizer and it says Gabe Davis is projected to finish second overall, which is not the case, but in theory, if he's projected to go second overall, which is a $20 per share finish, then I'm going to target the crap out of Gabe Davis because the people solely using Jock Market's projections are not going to pay enough for him with that knowledge. So I can give him a little bit cheaper, and I have that huge ceiling, I guess, of opportunity for him to finish really well. And that's pretty much the main strategy I used last year to turn 0 to 5,000. Just what's the biggest difference? Throw it up, compare it to Jock Market, and then just focus solely on that player. Of course, I had other players that had other, like the second biggest difference, the third biggest difference, because if that player did somehow go for an insane amount of money per share, I'm like, all right. Clearly, other people are onto this guy. Let's move to the next one. But now, let's go to T-Rex here. And aside from that, my single player strategy, which is kind of what I mean, I can in theory follow the T-Rex method and do the large robust portfolio, but I just, I don't know. If it's not broken, don't fix it. That's what I say. So because I did so well last year, I'm going to keep running the single player sniper strategy. But T-Rex, kind of touch on your strategy overall and then how you're attacking this Thursday night market here.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I mean, I think you and I have talked about kind of some strategies. I've got my own spreadsheets that I do my own calculations, but I do exactly the same thing. Where I basically call it my delta column, where it's what are they being ranked at on Jock Market and what do I have them ranked at? And the guys that are green, which are, you know, I'm ranking higher, those are the ones that I target. The ones that are low, I typically avoid just given the pricing. And I think you made a great point on, you know, Jock Market has its own algorithm when it's projecting their points and where they're going to finish. That algorithm is notoriously bad. And what's even worse, which of course is, I mean, anybody that tries to rank 24 players in a slate, you're never going to get that exactly correct. Right. But what's even worse is in game, there will be a price per player that is, you know, kind of always adjusting every second based on what's happening in the game. That is even more unreliable. And people will often use that as kind of their buying and selling. And I would just tell you, ignore that thing. I mean, it can be useful to know kind of where, if you want to buy or sell players, where everybody else seems to be focusing. But that thing doesn't matter until the game is over. Those will then readjust.
That's like the one thing I tell Jock Market, of course, are our partners, and I talk to their top dogs all the time, and I was like, that number is the most useless number on this entire platform. I don't even know if I have ever, my eyes ever make connection with it, just because I know that it's pointless. What's that number called again? What's their official name for
it's
it?
Like, it's like the live.
I think it's the fair player value, right?
Yeah, something like that. You know, because another one is, you know, like I've got it up on my phone now. And yeah. So like if I just click on Josh Allen and it pulls up his actual player card, you'll see at the top that they've got, you know, his pre-rank, his projected, and then a suggested number. That's usually the number that people will kind of key off of when they're placing their IPO bids. That can be very useful because most people, if the current IPO price is below the suggested, people will tend to kind of keep bidding at it. Yeah. I love that number because that gives me a great insight to where approximately the IPO is going to be. Now, it's not perfect, and you kind of have to use your own you know, sense and your own calculations or historical value, like we've got on Jock or on DFS Karma. But that can be a good kind of indicator where, you know, people seem to, they're going to probably be IPO bidding this person, which is, you know, right now it's at 17. So you got an $8 upside for 25 and a $3 upside for a 20 return, but a whole big negative in case something goes wrong. Like you said, it gets hurt, those interceptions, et cetera. And I would say that, you know, often in season long, quarterbacks tend to score the most points. I think they score a decent amount on Jock Market, but for me, it is wide receivers and pass catching running backs. Those are the people that I want. I want people with the ball in their hands that can score, especially on the catches with the PPR. And that's people that I tend to focus on. So, for example, on Thursday night for tonight, loving Cam Akers. I think that, you know, the kind of the injury issue with last year, there's kind of some unknowns that might depress some value. But I think that that's got a huge deal. I think Zach Moss, as long as he doesn't go too expensive, James Cook, like those guys I'm always targeting. But just like anything, I don't care how much I love a player or how much I hate a player. There is always a price that will take them at. And so if that price gets too high, even if I love them, I'm not getting on board with that. And if the price is too low, even if I think that player stinks, you know, might as well throw $1.25 at it for 25-cent risk that they might do something crazy, especially in week one. Week one is the biggest unknown. I think that's the best value if you could try and key on some guys, because most people are going to just take the chalk, right? They're going to take the top five guys. They're going to bid them and hope to do it. But you know, I like the single per, you know, player sniping thing. You know, people that have talked to me about, you know, taking a lot of shares of a lot of players can get themselves into trouble because only one guy can finish first and only one guy can finish second. And so you might make $500 on one player, but you lost $800 on another, or 50 or 80, depending on whatever your budget is. You can get yourself upside down, even if you happen to have the top four guys.
Right. So if you... just like I said, if you've made it this far into this video, into this podcast, and this is, and you've never played Jock Market before, you're just like, you know what, I'm gonna put the time in, I'm gonna learn this, I'm gonna watch these guys. They clearly know what they're doing. They won an insane amount of money last year collectively, or even, you know, individually with with T-Rex. But if you made it this far and you still never played before, and you're like, okay, I'm interested. I kind of understand the strategy now. How does this work when it actually, like, when you're actually doing things on it? So with everything DFS, with the lineup-based stuff, with the prop stuff, you can plug in lineups anytime during the week as soon as the contest opens. You can lock in prop plays at the same time, anytime of the week as long as they're available. This is not that kind of deal. This is a strict, it opens roughly, for the NFL, it typically opens, the window to start bidding on players opens 2 hours before lock. I believe, yeah, 2 hours roughly for NFL, does that sound right?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, bidding opens at 6 p.m. You see there at the top. Bidding opens at 6 p.m. Eastern time, and the game tonight is 8 p.m. Eastern time. So, yeah, 2 hours before lock. And so from 6 to about 7:58 p.m., it's never exact. It's always like 2 minutes before. From 6 to 7:58 p.m., roughly, everybody is bidding on players. So let's say, you know, okay, Gabe Davis is going to start at $1. Josh Allen's going to start at $1. They all start at $1 until people start bidding on them. I highly recommend, unless you are short on time, unless you have something to do, bid on a player, bid the maximum you would actually pay for them. That doesn't mean you're actually going to pay that. It's the same, I call it eBay rules. If you've ever bid on something on eBay, the exact same. If I said I'm going to pay $20 a share on Josh Allen and the next highest person, which I'm never going to do that on Josh Allen, but just an example. If I say, okay, $20 a share on Josh Allen and I want 10 shares and the next highest bid is $5. I'm not paying $20 a share. I'm paying like $5 and a penny because that makes me the winning bid. It's the same thing how eBay works. So if you're short on time, you do not have to stare at your phone during the lock period. You just bid your max and then check your phone after lock and see if you actually won anything. If you didn't, I mean, you didn't overpay, so it's a win-win. And you're not gonna make profit, but you didn't overpay beyond what you wanted to do. But if you are available and you have your phone in your hand or you're on the desktop version, as I have pulled up on the screen here, and you are available around that set 7:58 p.m. lock, or the I think lock for Sunday is it's like at 12, I think.
Yeah,
So
they changed it. It used to be an hour
12:30, I think now.
before. Yeah. Well, tonight is at least for I'm Central is 7:20. So it's basically right up to kickoff. And you're exactly right.
Okay.
I mean, if you have the time, if you're available, and frankly, you only need to be there like the last 15 minutes because it
Oh, for me,
locks.
it's
Yeah.
like the last 3 minutes.
Yeah. And like you said, it says live trading starts by 7:20, which means the IPO will end approximately at 7:20. But you're right. It typically is a minute or two before. I actually like that kind of unknown because it prevents people from like doing mass bidding at the last second to grab somebody. But if you want to bid your max you're willing to do. Even if you look and there's 3 minutes until, or let's say it's 5 minutes until lock and Josh Allen is only at $5, don't bid $6. Because all you're going to do is get a bunch of notifications when you get outbid because you're going to get outbid. Then you got to get back into the app, got to get back in there and make more bids. It's just, I'm telling you, it's a lot easier. Just put your max bid in. It ties up money, but you get refunded if you either don't get the player or if he goes for cheaper. But it is a mad scramble in those last 5 minutes. And so, I used to get in and bid early, and all that ended up doing was pushing the price up of a bunch of players, which actually brings us to, I get this question a lot. How many shares are available for each player? That is not posted, and there is a finite number of shares. It's the same for every player that's available. This is
Yeah.
what Jock Market has told me, and I have no reason to think that it's incorrect. However, as you get close to lock, additional shares will be added. And it's there just to kind of help balance the supply and demand of it because they don't want it to get, I think, out of control.
Right.
So there is a trick. You have to have a little bit of money, but there is a trick. They've changed it a little bit, I think, to make it harder. But what I typically do is I go to the very, bottom player that I'm interested in because I'm not going to like fake bid on a player I don't even want. And I will type in as soon as the market opens, $1.01, and I will attempt to buy 1,000 shares. And previously, before you hit bid, it would tell you, hey, there's only X number of shares available. It was the perfect workaround to figure out approximately how many shares they're going to be. Now you actually have to hit the bid button and it will just give you an error and says you're trying to bid 1,000 shares. There's only 125 available or whatever it is. So that is a trick. Granted, you're going to have $500 if you're going to try and bid 500 shares. But generally in these slates, I think there's approximately 100 to 300 shares. They are obviously kind of dependent on how many people are active, how many people are bidding. Last night in the week one to week two, there were 250 players available. So that is the most I've ever seen. Typically, a main slate's like 100 or 140. Last night, I think there was 130 shares available to start. That probably got up to 200 as it got close to lock. But that can kind of give you an idea of how many shares are out there because, as you noted, it goes to the highest bid. And so if there is 100 shares available and you've got a lot of money or you're somebody like me that wants to take a lot of shares and I try and buy 75 shares of them, the price is going up, right? Because I'm taking the 75 of those shares. Whereas if you're only taking 30, it doesn't push the price up as much, if that makes sense. If anybody's, used to either just doing normal stock market stuff or kind of how IPO bidding goes in general. So, there's always the question of how many shares. That's the best workaround I've found. In the past, I sometimes will post in our great Discord channel. I'm seeing it's approximately X number of shares. I'm not sure if that's something they're intentionally trying to hide, but there is a workaround to kind of figure that out, which can be helpful for bidding.
Touche. I'm glad you mentioned the start time because I know it's 2 hours before, so I was like, oh, it's 8 p.m. But then yeah, I just pulled it up on the screen right now, and live trading starts by 8:20. So I said 7:58 p.m. is when lock happens because I thought it was an 8 p.m. lock, but because it says 8:20, I'm guessing 8:18 p.m. So yeah, roughly 2 minutes before, and there is no countdown, so it's always within like It could be quicker by 60 seconds. It could be longer by 60 seconds. Maybe even two. It can lock exactly at 8:20. The reason that, as T-Rex mentioned earlier, the reason why that's not like a timing system that actually shows a countdown clock is because they don't want one single person having some bot that just scoops up everybody as soon as it hits like 0001 or whatever. So the unknown makes it something where you're like you have to put in a bid because you don't want to be too late on putting in a bid, which I'm sure T-Rex and myself have both thought we were gonna get like the best snipe ever, and then it's like, sorry, IPO locked, and you're like, no.
Yeah, because I mean, especially on a main slate, I mean, you can find
Yeah.
some guys that are still at a dollar, and
Right.
you can go bid that 105 because you're right. It's only the main bid, right? If I'm the very first person to make a bid, and it's Josh Allen, and let's say there's 100 shares available, I bid for 50 shares for $20. That price, if I'm the only one that's bid, is still going to be a dollar, right? Because there,
Right.
it's you got to have to kind of the cumulative effect of all the different bids. So that's another reason why you don't want to bid early, because you're going to get kind of sucked into this whole fantasy of, oh my gosh, I'm going to get Josh Allen for a dollar, and 1 cent. It's much easier to see it right before lock to kind of see where those IPO prices are, and that's even better for the players that are way down the slate that are, only going for a dollar or a dollar and change. Another reason why they do the lock at kind of a vague or unknown time, because otherwise I would just be buying every player for $1.10 at the lock if I knew exactly when it was going to close.
Yeah, and then so there's a lot of, I mean, and all you can go back and watch all of last season's podcast that T-Rex and myself did, and you can see, I mean, we kind of every podcast is like a little sprinkle of new strategy and stuff. So again, to explain how this game works for the people who have never played this and have made it this far in the podcast, first off, congratulations, you're putting in the work to learn how to win money. What I don't like is the people that I post this in the Discord like a month ago, maybe September 1st. I don't know what it was. Maybe a month ago. I don't know. I said, "Oh no, it was when preseason started." I go, "This is the time to learn how to play this contest because there's free rolls. They're just giving out like what was it, $500 free rolls or $250 free rolls? $250 free rolls every single day there was a preseason game. That was your time to learn how to play because it's free. You just play around. Okay, hey, I won some money. We had people that were learning for the first time that won some money, added some to their bankroll because once it gets to week one, people are like that I know were in our Discord, that I know had avail had the access to stuff. They're like, oh, how do I play? I'm like, no, like I told you to start learning now. Like, but at the same time, yes, I'm still gonna teach you how to play, but you have to put in the time. You can't just be like, oh, this sounds interesting. Show me what to do. Like, it's not something where you just give you an entire lineup and you plug it in DraftKings and win $100,000. It's something that you have. There is a learning curve. You have to actually put in the time to learn. But luckily, they're even during the season, there are still free rolls to still play around and learn with that as well. But yeah, like we don't need to spend this entire podcast going through strategy because we're gonna be doing these quite often, trying to get one out every single week. So let's just kind of focus on more on this market tonight, which this podcast is gonna be live. But if you do catch this after Thursday Night Football, if you watch us after lock or Friday or Saturday or Sunday morning, we will kind of try to throw some Sunday stuff in there as well. But this is mainly kind of a learning process, understanding how the top people on this platform are winning, what they're doing strategy-wise, and then going from there. So, that being said, I will literally show you right now, verbatim on screen, what I'm going to be doing for tonight's market. A strategy thing that I wanted to throw in there, and I've mentioned this a few times, and I don't know if I should be sharing this because it probably hurts me in the long run in terms of me playing because we're all in the same market together, is we were talking before. If you're able to be on your phone at lock, you do not, I don't, I do not bid whatsoever before roughly maybe the earliest 3 minutes before lock, three, four, maybe five, but very small amount of time. I don't bid on anything. I'll go through and I'll as you as T-Rex was saying, you like Cam Akers. So on this podcast, you saw me click that yellow star. You like James Cook, yellow star. Zach Moss, yellow star. What this means, and this is also in the app as well, this makes them a favorite. So of course there's a crap ton of players, especially on a main slate. But if you only have people you want to look at, you don't care about anything else because they don't hit your research spectrum, you just click that star and then go to filter and hit favorites, and it only shows you the people that you're targeting, which is huge for me because, like I said, I'm a single player sniper. I'll put three people in here on a slate, and I'm like, okay, who's gonna give me the most bang for the buck based on where I see them finishing, or based on their difference from the Karma projection to the Jock projection, which I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast is the new tool we're launching this year that actually just shows you the difference before, so you don't have to like stare at two tools at the same time. You can just go there and say like, okay, What's the biggest difference from Karma projection to this projection and target there? So you're actually going to be bidding the same players more often than not that we're bidding. But the strategy thing I wanted to mention was when you're bidding near lock, what I do, and I don't know, like I said, I don't know if I should be sharing this because I feel like it's going to hurt me in the long run and benefit you guys, but never bid whole numbers. Everybody's brain is programmed. I don't know if this is because how schooling was in math class. Everybody is programmed to bid whole numbers. They bid $1, $2, $3. They do $1.50, $2.50, $3.50, or maybe even a quarter, because this is what we're used to. We're used to quarters. We're used to dollar bills. We're used to these things. We don't deal with pennies that often. We don't deal with nickels that often. And because this is the monetary thing, that's the same mindset that people have, where I've a strategy that I've been doing for quite a while now on Jock is if your brain is telling you this player is at $5 and it's near lock and you want to get him and your brain is telling you to bid $5.50, don't. Do 551, do 552. Because I'm telling you, I've seen this. This is every single market that I've been in. Everybody that wants to bid at the exact same time, all of their brains are going to 550. Every single one of them, 550. If they bid 550, you don't get all the shares that you wanted. There's a chance you don't get all the shares you wanted because there's more people that are going to be outbidding you. But if you're trying to snipe the last second and you do 551 the same time that everybody else is 550, you win every single time.
Yeah,
So
I'm
I
not
don't.
really. I was gonna say I'm not really thrilled you gave that away because that's definitely what I do too. I mean,
Yeah.
my favorite bid is 288, for like lower players that I want for anywhere under about 250.
T-Rex is like, shut up. Stop sharing
Yeah,
this.
I do 288. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times I have taken a player at 288. Like I was looking at because I actually hand put in all the IPOs just so I can track them over the
Yeah.
season. I'm looking at last night. I mean, Patrick Mahomes went for 9.99, and
Are you
Jalen Hurts
saying you
went.
do 288 on players that are stuck like still at a dollar?
Yes. Any
But
player that's like
how
on the low
early
side.
before lock are you putting? Because that's I mean that's a pretty big multiplier. That's what is that 2.2888 multiplier. So how is that something you're putting in that lock?
Yeah, probably about 10 minutes before lock because there are a lot of
10 minutes,
players,
okay.
yeah, especially like veteran players, right? What I usually do, and I think a lot of people follow this, is I go after my key players. And you know, 10 minutes before lock, first thing I do is I go through my big players. But then as it's counting down, because again, everybody that does this, I'm sure, is competitive, right? That's why you're doing this. You want to win. Do not get sucked into the back and forth, right? You're gonna bid your max because you're gonna lose them. It's gonna go up by 3 cents. You're gonna go, okay, well, I can bid 5 more cents. You're gonna bid that, then you're gonna outbid again, and then it's gonna have locked and you've lost time to go for everybody else. So what I do in the last 5 minutes is I go to the very bottom of the board and start looking at players that are still at a dollar or under a dollar and a
I
quarter.
like how you're saying that because I'm actually the opposite. At crunch time, literal lock time, I am the one that's like, okay, like I'll have a number already in my head. Like this person's probably not gonna be worth more than $10 a share. Like it's not worth it for me to go $10 a share. And instead of just bidding like 10.01 or bidding the max, I will play the penny game, and I'll just be like another 10 cents, another 15 cents. So I don't think. Well, for me, because I'm focusing on like one player, that's fine. But if you're trying to get multiple people, you're wasting your time as because that's clearly what T-Rex does not do. He doesn't just focus on one single player. And so yes, for how he plays with his massive, robust portfolio of players, it's very dumb because it wastes time, especially at lock when timing is crucial and because you don't know when exactly the lock's gonna close up shop. But for me, I actually enjoy the like a little bit here, nope, a little bit here, nope, a little bit here, nope. It is tedious, but I don't know. It's
Yeah,
the
I
fun
think
of the game for me.
it works for a single, one or two players
Yeah.
if you're gonna do it that way. But the value at the bottom of the board, right? Because I mean, you got a third string tight end and he catches a touchdown, he's gonna be mid-table, right? And he's gonna return $3 or $4.
Right.
And I think that's totally worth it on the upside because the risk is so low. But I think everybody can have their own strategy. I think in this game, it's shares over players. Right. If you get all the players, you're unlikely to make money. But if you get two players and you've got a whole crap load of shares, because remember, if you get $3 of profit on one share, but then you got 50 shares, right? It's obviously you're multiplying it by 50. That you've got the same risk, of course. But
Yeah.
if you hit on a player And it obviously depends on your bankroll, but having 10 shares, 50 shares, 100 shares, 200 shares, whatever the max might be, I mean, that's how you kind of do your force multiplier.
So I know, I think I've said this a few times on the podcast. I'm like, hey, okay, so let's focus on what we're actually doing tonight, and then, sprinkle in some Sunday things, and then all of these strategy things just want to keep coming out of my mouth. And the fact that the number one player on JockMark, I got mad that I shared something. You know that that is a strategy that is very important when somebody on the podcast gets mad that you shared it.
Yeah,
But
and we're, I mean, we've got, pl I mean, we'll be doing this all season, of course, because we haven't even discussed the in-game trading. If this is your
oh
first
yeah.
time, you're buying players at the IPO, but then it goes live where there is
I
buying and
would.
selling, and then there's shorting of players if you think they're overvalued. We will have plenty to talk about this season.
I will definitely recommend that is something that's part of the game. If this is your very first time playing it, I recommend do not go into that realm yet. For baby step number one, bid IPO. If you get somebody, hold on to the end and see what happens. Don't go too crazy on the bankroll, especially if it's your first time. Our Karma bankroll strategy is no matter what app you're on, whatever bankroll you put into that app, never ever risk more than, depending on the game type, 20 to 25% of your bankroll at any time. If you're going in and you put in like $100 for the $100 deposit bonus match, you have $200. Do not go in $200 on shares, because if that person gets hurt, then you literally have zero, or I mean, you don't have $0, but you have almost $0 left in your bankroll. But do take advantage of the $100 money back guarantee. If this is your first time playing, take advantage of that. Make sure that you are spending at least $100, because if it all goes to crap, you will get refunded that $100. So that is your time to buy, in T-Rex's example, buy 100 shares of a player at $1, and let's just say he gets a fourth quarter touchdown, and boom, now you have $500 in your bankroll. But yeah, so what I'm gonna do first is I'm gonna actually show you what exactly I'm doing for this Thursday night market. But yes, don't worry about the live trading stuff. We'll go in more in that as we go on, continue on the season with these episodes. Just focus on the IPO side. Try to understand, how the bidding process works. Put in a few bids. If you win some, fantastic. If you don't win some, that's fine. There's other markets. If you don't do the Thursday night football one, there's a Sunday football one. There's a Sunday afternoon football one. There's a Sunday night one. There's a Monday night one. There's always markets for you to be learning how to attack and how to make a crap ton of money. So let me pull up on the screen here now. I'm gonna pull up the lineup optimizer. Let me do, 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 do. There we go. Let me. I think it's on the main slate. So let me flip over to the showdown. So this is all I did last season that turned zero into the 5K. So you go to the optimizer, or you can do the projections portal. You go to the single game showdown. You click on the flex because you don't want to worry about captain scoring too much. It doesn't really change much. Just click on flex. And then you see here, every single player is ranked by where they're supposed to finish on the in scoring. They do have kickers in here, so you just have to ignore the kicker spot because there's not kickers in Jock Market, but everything else is there. So we see, Josh Allen, Cooper Kupp, the same thing happening with the Jock Market ranking. So let me go real quick. So we have Stafford, Diggs, Robinson. So I'll go Stafford, Diggs, Robinson. I go back over here. Stafford, Diggs, Robinson. And you see here that Stephon Diggs is actually ranked number three. So on Jock Market, he's four, but here he's three. So that is a difference, but that's not a big enough difference for me to be concerned about. Gabe Davis is right below A-Rob. I believe that's the same. I'm going back and forth between windows here.
Yeah, and while you're doing that, they do have all the players ranked, right? Like pre-ranked. Those can change up until when the IPO opens, which 5 p.m. tonight, it's 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern. Players can also get swapped out, right? If a player is inactive or for whatever reason, I've seen players drop out kind of the few minutes before the IPO opens. Once the IPO opens, those players are there. And certainly on Sundays, right, the market can open and a player can get ruled out. He's still there. So make sure they've got their own news updates on there. Just make sure you're keeping that in mind, because if a player is ruled out and then you bid on him, you will not get a refund. There are times when a player can get ruled out after the IPO locks where you may get a refund. It's not a hard and fast rule from Jock Market, but they do try and take some fairness into account. But if you bid on a player and not going to play, you kind of already pooped the bet.
Pooped the bed. So that is actually, I don't know if we will continue this scooping shares into the NBA season and focus on NBA stuff, but that's something that is extremely risky, but has paid off. I mean, it's paid off the same amount. It's pooped the bed. But yeah, so like LeBron James always hurt.
Questionable every game. Every game is questionable. Yes.
And because it's an unknown, because it locks before this news comes out, typically he would go for maybe, let's just say for just argument's sake, he'd go for like $11, $12 a share, depending on the kind of slate and how many teams are playing. But because he's questionable and people are afraid that he's going to pay out $1 a share, he may go for half that, like $6, $7. So the most you're risking is $5 a share. And I'll be like researching everything I can. Like, man, like, is he leaning towards playing? Is it not going to happen? How many minutes is he going to get? And so often that there's be these players that can easily, if they play a full game, easily be number one on the slate, which is $25 share payout. I'll be like, you know what? I'm going to risk it. So I'll buy like 20 shares max, like 10, 20 shares, depending on the price of it. And it's paid off where they've played and they've, you know, finished second. I'm like, holy crap, I just made like $500 by taking that risk. Or I'll do it. And then I'll be like, nope, he doesn't play. I'm like, great. There goes $150 out the window. But yeah, definitely pay attention to not bidding on people that are not going to be playing. So I did pull up the lineup optimizer. On the single game slates, it's extremely difficult with NFL. It's a little bit easier with NBA. Extremely difficult for NFL to see a massive difference in the projections. There are players that are, I think Jock has Singletary higher than Akers. We have Akers higher than Singletary. I just mentioned earlier they have Stafford higher than Diggs. We have Diggs higher than Stafford. So there's only that small margin. So there's not anything that's like a huge, oh my gosh, this is a no-brainer. For the main NFL market, I'm pretty positive there's going to be some people that are be standing out because there's so many more players spread out. So many different fantasy points as well. So for this one, we had T-Rex mention Cam Akers. He is, there's a one position, a one rank difference. So it is somebody that the optimizer strategy doesn't hate. James Cook and Zach Moss. For me, when it comes to single game slates, especially with NBA, but with NFL as well, I don't really focus on anybody below the top 10 in rankings. So what I do for, and this won me a ton of money at NBA as well, is I'll be like, okay, in the top 10, what's the biggest? If I can find somebody that's got a miss rank of 3 in the top 10, they're easily my lock play that I'm going to be focusing on. But for, I don't know if I mean, I'll probably, just because T-Rex said, I'll probably look at Cook and Moss as well. But, I mean, maybe I'll get a player that may get, like, a few snaps at the goal line or something. But, I don't know. There's nothing for this market that's extremely sexy. So maybe I will pay up and try to get somebody who I know is definitely going to finish in the top 4. Because even if I get Stephon Diggs thinking he's going to finish at 4 and he does finish at 4, unless the bid is insane, I'm still going to make profit on it. Because nobody's going to, what is 4? $12? There's no way that Stephon Diggs is going to over $12. I may be wrong, but I don't think it's going to happen. So you still can get profit even if they finish where they're supposed to finish, unless you guys go crazy in the market and screw everything up. But,
yeah, because you can screw the market up. I mean, I have seen times where, like I said, my Christian McCaffrey one, I mean, I think he went that game for like $22 or $23. I mean, it's leaving like a $2 upside with an entire downside.
Yeah.
And he got hurt, and people took an absolute bath over that. So, yeah, you got to be very careful, which is why, especially for week one with all the unknowns, I love the bottom slate of players. I mean, I will get a ton of those guys just because the risk is low and they just need one. They just need one play.
So we have poop in the bed and we have taking a bath. I love these T-Rex terms. What are they going to do today? Ah, he's going to take a bath. Oh, nope, he pooped the bed. I don't know. I like it. So beyond the players we just went over, before we flip over to the main market here and see if there's anything that jumps out immediately to us, not going to go too much detail on that. You can jump in the Discord, like I said, the free Discord. We could talk about the Sunday slate a lot more often. Is there anything else? And is there anything in the top 10 that jumps out at you as something like you want to focus on? Or is this week one single game slate a cheapo only target kind of market?
No, because I think it's top heavy. I mean, even once you get to, you know, I guess it's 12 would be halfway, but even if you start getting to 11 with McKenzie, Henderson, you know, Ben Sko, you got Crowder, a lot of those guys are just absolute unknowns, especially with week one. We don't know what usage are, but, you know, the unknown is where the value is, in my opinion. And, you know, a lot of people, if it's their first time or they've got, you know, they've got that money back guarantee, so they've got some money to blow, they're going after the big guys, and that tends to push their IPOs up, usually too high for what I want to do. If there's a, you know, if Cooper Cup is below 17, you know, I probably will get in on that. I always like to have at least a couple of spots that they can go up. So if Cooper Cup's 17, he only is making money at first or second. That usually is a little dangerous for me. I usually want to have at least three up there, and which is why I usually am not bidding on the guys at the top because they're going too expensive and the risk is too high. But I love people like Dawson Knox, right? Because Dawson Knox could get a single point in this game because he's going to have one catch, you know, for, you know, 2 yards, or he's going to get two goal line touchdown passes. And that is, I think, super useful. It's got a little bit of risk there, but I like players like that. Same thing with Higbee. Because the pre people follow the pre-ranks, for better or worse, and you can use that to your advantage.
All right, so the ones that were mentioned by T-Rex anyway, we got, well, besides Higby, I didn't click on him, but Akers, Knox, Cook, Moss. I don't, it for me, because there isn't a massive difference in the optimizer for the single game showdown tonight, for the optimizer to the jock projections, I probably will play the lock game. And if I see that Cup is whatever Cup's price is near, like a minute or two before lock, like, okay, I think this makes sense to get shares of him around that price. Or the same thing with Allen. So it's not that I have a predetermined number in my head because I don't have enough of a difference to like write him down as yes, this is my target. So I typically, when that happens, I'll just play the lock game and be like, okay, who is at a price that makes sense for where they should be finishing? Because I can't predict what the what their IPO is going to be at lock. I can't predict how many people are going to be bidding on this player, how many people are not going to be bidding on this player. So that's what I'll be doing tonight. I'll be doing the lock dance, or I got to figure out a better term for that.
Yeah, I think I think a great pivot, and for me, it always depends on the IPO, is Allen Robinson, because Gabe Davis is right below him. I think people find Davis sexier than Allen Robinson. I mean, Allen Robinson hasn't done anything for the past couple of years. Cam Akers has got some sexy name appeal to it, and some of the tight ends as well. If Robinson's price is depressed, I'm probably going to have a crap load of shares of Allen Robinson, because if Cup gets covered up, which, you know, nobody really is able to do that, but if they've got to look somewhere else, Robinson is a perfect pivot on the opposite side of the field.
I gotcha. Do you have the main slate pulled up by any chance?
I can get it.
So I'm trying to. So like I said, I like what I like to do first for my focus, just because there's so much more from first place and second place share wise. It's a $5 difference. So the people that finish in the top five, each level you go up on where the player finishes, whether they finish fifth, fourth, third, second, or first, the amount of money as you go up even one more is it's so big. That's why I love focusing on the top 10 as top 10 potential finishers, as opposed to somebody in the bottom, which, yes, if you get an insane amount of shares, you can make an insane amount of money. But if you're not going to get like hundreds plus of shares of somebody, that's kind of why I like to focus on that top range. Because if you get somebody that finishes at, you know, $2 a share, and then, you know, 10 levels, 10 ranks above that, he finishes and gets, you know, $3 a share. Man, you just went up like 10 different spots and you only made a dollar difference. So you have to get a large amount of shares for that to be worth your bang for your buck, which of course T-Rex does with his portfolio, his robust portfolio. But if you're only gonna get a few shares, I mean, you can do that. It's still making money. But if you want to actually have like a quicker return on investment, I guess, focusing on the top 10 for single player sniping like I do, I'm gonna do that right now. I'm gonna just look at, man, this is super QB heavy.
Yeah, it's always QB heavy. And, you know, for main slates, one of my favorite things is finding quarterbacks in the middle of the table. I mean, people like Davis Mills and people like that, all they have to do is have a pretty serviceable game. They're never going to go for very much money. And if they have a serviceable game, you're in good shape. And if they have a great game, you're killing it, because you're exactly right. Having the player that finishes first gets you the most money. It's the best way to make you know, a huge amount of return. They typically are the higher price, so they carry the most risk. But, you know, it's all about, for me, it's all about volume of shares. And if you get that player that, you know, is projected to maybe return $2 and they return $5, or they return $8, or if they have a great game, they return like $15, I mean, you're never going to find that in a top player, because they're usually going to be priced pretty close to where they're expected to finish.
Yeah, I got you. All right, so I'm gonna do real quick. I'm just gonna do a side-by-side comparison here. Let's see. So they have Lamar 1, we have him 2. They have JT 2, we have him like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So JT is somebody that I probably will not be targeting, because we have him 4 lower than they do. So that means we have to find something else here. We have Patrick Mahomes as number 1. They have him as 3, so I'm going to target that, even though that's only a 2 difference. We have him finishing number 1 overall, which is huge because that's $25. Jalen Hurts is the same. Herbert, Murray, CMC. We have CMC 3. They have 7, so I'm going to star him. So if you're like, what are you looking at right now? So I know I have the what you see on the screen is a Jock Market website, but I also have our optimizer that I was showing you earlier pulled up. I'm just literally going through the top 10 here and finding the biggest differences. Derrick Henry, not really a difference there. Dak Prescott is way too high on Jock, and then Aaron Rodgers, about the same. So my two targets here, based on where Jock has them, is Mahomes and CMC, which CMC, of course, is a massive red flag because this man sneezes and breaks his ankle.
Yes, he does.
So you gotta be
Yes, he
careful about
does.
that. But the fact that we have him third and he's seventh, that's a 4 difference. That's definitely a target for me. In fact, we have Mahomes number 1 overall, and he's third on here. That's a 2 difference, but the 2 is the biggest 2 on the entire board. So, yeah, that's me going through really quick what my initial targets are. And of course, I'm going to be looking at other ones, as T-Rex said, where you focus on like a quarterback, which they rack up points. Focus on somebody that's kind of in the middle area and hope they just have a great game because of a great matchup and whatnot. But we'll just wrap this pod up with having what T-Rex, any kind of targets that you're initially looking at for the Sunday main market.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I like, using Vegas lines, right? You want games that are supposed to be shootouts.
Which you can use by going to betkarma.com. Continue.
That's right. Yeah, and so like the Dallas game, I think, it has a chance to really shoot out. I'm a big fan of Vegas and the Chargers. I think that one could go pretty strong. Obviously, when you have weak defenses where there's going to be scoring, that is a big one. But for me on the Sunday slate, I'll do a little bit of prep beforehand, but it pretty much is always on Sunday morning. My favorite trick, and I think this is a great trick if you don't have a big bankroll or if you're just trying to get your feet wet, is who is a player either on the radio or on Fantasy Pros or ESPN or whatever you might follow that people are dogging. People say that, this guy's not going to have a good game, or, he's got a terrible matchup. He's a wide receiver that's going to get shadow coverage, or it's a running back where they're going to stack the box. I always load up on those players because everybody's listening to the same people on the radio or on the internet. People therefore will avoid them. Price will get depressed, and the upside is there. So that's kind of one of my favorites tricks. But yeah, I mean, it's a big Sunday slate. I'll tell you that from, I guess, the week one to week two market. I had 18 players. I did go a little high on Adams and Ja'Marr Chase and Mixon, but I have a lot of shares of Mark Andrews, a lot of shares of Mike Williams, and probably more shares than I would confess on Hunter Renfrow. Because it's the underneath passing, it's a high scoring game. Those are ones that I really like for weeks one and two, which therefore would mean I like them for week one too.
I just pulled up the event schedule. So the opening, so when you can start betting on people on the Sunday main slate is 9 a.m. Eastern time, and the lock is 12:30 p.m. So 12:28 p.m. Eastern time. So it's 3.5 hours. As the last thing I want to mention, if you do not have time, you're going to a game, you're driving to a game, you don't have time to be there around 12:28. That if you can bid at 9 a.m. once it locks, bid your highest you would ever pay, your max price. Your max shares for whatever players you're targeting, and then enjoy whatever you're doing during the day. If you can be on your phone around 12:30 p.m. Eastern time, do not bid. I would say do not bid anything until 12:20 p.m. Eastern time at the earliest, because all you're doing is just raising the prices, and it's going to cost you more ROI. It's going to cost you more just money in general out of your bankroll. So just use that time and see where the action's coming in on players, and then yeah, do not bid until like 10 minutes before lock, at the earliest. Any last words from you, T-Rex, before we wrap this up?
No, I'm super pumped for tonight. I'm happy the NFL season's back. My accountant's already mad at me for the taxes I had to pay last year. And since you said we collectively won money, I'll be looking for your check for your half of the taxes I got to pay on those monies.
You give me half, you give me half, I'll pay half. Gladly. Gladly. But yeah, I hope here's to Carmination being the I'm pretty sure that we are I mean you're I know you're like the number one player, but I'm pretty sure we're the number one Jock Market content site in terms of like the people that provide the Jock Market content having the most like collective winnings or the highest ranking, whatever. Like there's nobody that's even close. The only person to my knowledge that is Jock Market content as often as we do is Rick Rungood, but he's only PGA. And we don't really do any PGA Jock Market stuff. We're trying to get into that, but I mean he's a great guy and he had
I make some serious money in PGA. You can lose in PGA if your guy falls apart, but there's money to be made
if you
there.
miss the cut, you're screwed. If he makes the cut, you win. It's as easy as that.
Pretty much.
But yeah, so good luck for the people that are watching this and able to lock in some stuff for tonight. If you are watching this after lock, don't worry about it. Use some of this knowledge, some of these plays, some of this insight and research strategy for the Sunday market. Hope that everybody's screens are green, which, I mean, who we lying? They're going to be. But yeah, good luck this weekend, everyone. T-Rex, thanks for joining us here and aiming to do another one of these for week two and moving forward. All depends on if T-Rex has bought his own private jet or yacht and he doesn't have time for me anymore because of all the money he wins.
Wow, we got a long way to go for that. But we'll be there.
All right. Good luck, guys. We'll see you next week.
Yep, good luck.